like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animal, talking animal. Must be an animal. Come hear the animals. Talking animals. Talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animal. Duncan Strauss. My guest today is Miriam Parham, the co-founder of Florida Voices for Animals, the Tampa-based animal advocacy organization that produces the annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest. The fifth edition of Veg Fest will be held this Saturday, November 8th, Cote and Chobee, Fort Brooke Park. We'll discuss her background, the history of Florida Voices for Animals, and what's on tap at this year's Tampa Bay Veg Fest when we hear from Miriam Parham in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Later in the show, we'll also hear an interview I conducted recently with Chef AJ, the chef, culinary teacher, and author who will be a speaker at VegFest, where separately she'll also present a cooking demonstration. There might even be some singing involved at the demonstration, not in the interview. More on that later. Also towards the end of the show is the prize for Name That Animal Tune. I'll be offering a copy of Metal Cats. It presents beautiful photography of assorted musicians from the metal scene and their cats. Photographer Alexander Crocker was a guest on the show a few months ago, and it's a really fun, nifty book. All right, let's kick things off as usual with an animal tune by Lake Street Dive, who just performed a WMNF concert on Saturday. This is Rabid Animal from Lake Street Dive on Talking Animals. Fantastic Lake Street Dive, the Rabid Animal, an animal tune of sorts, a rabid animal tune to get us launched this morning. Now let's move into today's primary interview with Miriam Parham of Florida Voices for Animals and the Tampa Bay Veg Fest. In a conversation recorded last Wednesday, this is Miriam Parham on Talking Animals. Hello, Miriam. Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Well, thank you, Duncan. Thank you for having us here.
And again, as always, it's extra thrilling to have someone in person, actual eye contacts, and so many of my interviews are phone interviews, so it's an extra bonus. So now, while we're here chiefly to discuss Tampa Bay Veg Fest, the event that's produced by Florida Voices for Animals, which you co-founded, so I think we should maybe trace that path for a moment or two. Take us back to that time in 1989, I believe it was, when you launched Florida Voices for Animals.
Right. We incorporated in 1989. 1989, but we had been active as a local group since 1982. And I have to give credit where credit is due. My mom was the catalyst to drag me to a meeting that I had no interest in, but by seeing a film that showed how animals are exploited in many ways in our society this, you know, in this era, in this age, it completely changed my heart in a minute. And she couldn't drag me out of the meeting, so.
And what was that film?
The film was called Animal Rights, the Issues, the Movement, and it was just a 20-minute slide presentation that showed just about every aspect of animal exploitation and abuse you could imagine, from food production to animals entertainment to animals in research, and it just blew my mind. Having been someone who wanted to be a veterinarian and thought I knew about animals, I was ignorant to all those issues. It was a mind-blowing experience.
Well, kind of set the scene for us. So what was going on in your world? What were you doing at that time when your mom was smart and deft enough to lead you to that screening?
Oh, I was just working and retail and going to school and just doing, I think, probably what most people do, just trying to lead a good life, but unaware of issues of suffering. I mean, I was aware of environmental issues and human issues and concerns, but not really truly aware of the animal issue concerns. And at that time, what they were focusing on was animals or primates used in research. And that was particularly very moving and touching subject when I realized what they were doing to primates in research.
And at that time that you did see this, were there organizations or activities otherwise that you were involved with, or any other sort of volunteer experiences, or was that just you were just sort of young enough then that that wasn't really part of your day-to-day existence?
Really not involved in a whole lot, you know, aware of environmental thing, be coastal cleanups and that kind of thing that I was, you know, aware of and involved in some ways.
So then once you taken somewhat reluctantly to the screening and then wouldn't, you know, reluctant to leave, that's how it sounds like profound the experience was for you. What happened next? What were sort of the steps that then led to launching Florida Voices for Animals?
Well, at that point, they were organizing 4 demos in the U.S. up to, you know, uncover or let people know about primate research. And one of them was in Atlanta. And I was moved enough that we organized a group of people to go by bus, others by plane, and many driving from our area to join that protest at Yerkes Regional Primate Center. And from there, we were involved with a group that organized that, Mobilization for Animals. Then later, we became a chapter of PETA. And then it was then in 1989 when we wanted to focus our own campaigns and Florida issues that we actually decided to incorporate as Florida Voices for Animals.
So was PETA then sort of an organization that you viewed as a model as you were sort of launching, you know, sort of peeling off as your own separate entity?
Well, in some ways, I guess I just didn't know about other groups, and at that time,
there probably weren't that many.
Right. They, you know, they helped educate about a lot of issues, but there were some things that we wanted to do differently or locally, and we just wanted to do our own approach and our own campaigns. And even though we were very much involved and interested in the labs and the vivisection animals and research, we started getting interested in other issues like fur campaigns and anti-hunting and entertainment issues here locally, like, you know, the circus, rodeo, and even puppy mills. But I think the focus there next was on fur, an anti-fur campaign. It's like, why in Florida? Why would anybody want to wear fur? So that was the next thing that we sort of moved on to.
So at that time, it sounds like there really wasn't anything comparable. So you guys were sort of, you were inspired by the screening, you were inspired by PETA and what they were doing, but also there was a real void to fill, it sounds like, in the area.
Right. And then we discovered other people, and many groups now are working in Florida, Animal Rights Foundation of Florida, Sarasota in Defense of Animals. There was a real active group in Gainesville, and you know, one of the things we were involved way back then was about animals in SeaWorld or the marine parks. And we're just delighted to see that a lot of progress has been made in that area with the movie Blackfish. So just a lot of different things are happening now. You know, lots of different people becoming aware, and you see a lot of little campaigns.
Yeah, it must be really gratifying to sort of see that arc, because if you're mentioning SeaWorld and some of those things back as far back as the early years of Florida Voices for Animals, on the other hand, it's like a long time coming. But
right.
but still, to see the kind of breakthrough that Blackfish did spawn and the impact that it really had along the way, everybody's, of course, been staging protests and calling attention to it, but sometimes there's a gigantic catalyst that really sort of flips it around, and Blackfish seem to be that in this
Absolutely.
Case.
And I think we're seeing a lot of that. And now, particularly in the area that we're focusing on, which may lead more to the Veg Fest, is animals and food production. And I think a lot of people now are aware of not only how the animals are treated in food production, but how it harms human health. It's cruel to the animals, it harms the environment, and there's even a connection to world hunger. So we focus now on more on that issue, not that the others are not important. We still focus on them at times, you know, depending on what's going on. But we feel like the animals and food production are the greatest number of animals that suffer, and so we've been focusing on that. And a dream of mine has been this Veg Fest. It's been something that I'd had hoped that we could bring something big to encourage people to eat healthier, but also for the animals. And as you know, one of our board members, Isabel Tassi, helped us get this going. She done an incredible job of getting this going, and we hope to keep it up. Now we're on fifth annual event.
Absolutely. So a couple quick things, though, before we delve all the way into that. So,
sure.
So did you imagine when Florida Voices for Animals was created and launched, did you imagine it being a more statewide operation, and that's why it was Florida Voices versus, say, Tampa Voices for Animals, or was that part of how it ended up with the name that it did? Or
it's interesting. We started as Tampa Bay Voices for Animals, and what started happening is people from cities a little bit further away and further away started to join our group. And so, yes, we sort of envisioned that there were a lot of people around the state that were interested, and we do get people that come to our events even from Miami. So we do get people from all around the
right.
state. And we actually have a lot of members from other states that support us.
Oh, that's great. So it actually did start as Tampa Bay Voices for Animals.
And correct.
So then recognizing that there was virtues to having a broader name because there's a people that were sort of responding more broadly even in other states.
Correct.
I see. Interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Well, this is Talking Animals. If you just tuned in, my guest is Miriam Parham, co-founder and president of Florida Voices for Animals, organizers of Tampa Bay Veg Fest, taking place this Saturday, November 8th at Cotonchobee Fort Brook Park. This conversation was recorded last Wednesday. We'll sort of telescope our examination as much as I'd like to find out a bit more about Florida Voices for Animals history. Just want to make sure we don't give Veg Chef short shrift here. So this Veg Fest to be held, again, this Saturday, November 8th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Cotonchobee Fort Brook Park is the fifth edition of the event. And people can go to TampaBayVegFest.org at any point to get more details and schedules and things. We'll delve into the details, I guess, of this Saturday's Veg Fest presently. But I know from some fairly personal, fairly comparable experience, producing an event of this scope is a huge undertaking. Kind of touched on briefly that you had a desire for this, but what prompted you and the other leaders of Florida Voices for Animals to say, you know what, it's time, let's launch our own festival?
Well, as I said, you know, one of our board members took the lead, and I think one of the things that we do as Florida Voices for Animals is we try to encourage individuals to become involved and take a lead in events, because one person can make a huge difference, and we all work. None of us are, you know, available full-time. Most of us, you know, work full-time. So we really count on people taking the lead on something that's a passion, and we try to support that. And anything that can help animals, that's what we try to be supportive through our organization and our communications with members. But, you know, Isabel had been a board member, and she just said, you know, I'd like to really do this. And two of us who've been longtime board members, Trevor Chen and I, who had said, yeah, we'd like to do this someday, just in awe stood back and watched her do this, and we all supported it. And it's hard work to put one, especially the first one. And now the two co-organizers, Diane Kuhn and Marie Galbraith, and they're working really hard along with the other board members and many, many, many volunteers. So just, you know, when one person takes the lead because it's their passion, everybody else can support it. But someone, when you're doing something huge, you have to have someone that wants to take that lead.
Well, especially something like that. I mean, it's a sprawling, complicated project, and there's just so many elements. And I think it's hard to anticipate all of them. Even if you know, it's like, okay, it's huge. It's a festival. It's going to have all these people and these vendors and this outreach and speakers. But, I mean, you know, you just get into things where, like, suddenly the city has a particular ordinance or restriction or, you know, anyway, so it's, there's a lot of learning curves, at least as I recall from
Absolutely.
Doing a couple of things. And so while we couldn't possibly address everything going on at this year's Veg Fest, maybe you could outline a few key lights, maybe a speaker, a cooking demonstration, some other activity that you're either extra excited about this year or that might represent a new feature offered this year as opposed to the previous four.
Absolutely. But first of all, I'd like to thank you, Duncan, because Talking Animals has been one of our sponsors, and you're a sponsor this year again. And we have the Tampa Downtown Partnership, and we have Rolling Oats, and many other companies are sponsoring this. And we're really, really grateful to all our sponsors, and I know that I can't name them all. But We're excited in particular about one of our speakers who's also going to do a cooking demo, and that's Chef AJ. And she basically is coming from Los Angeles, and she has been on The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson, with Jay Leno as well, and David Letterman, and many national TV programs. She speaks at many places throughout the nation, and she's just very entertaining, a lot of fun, and she's going to speak and do a cooking demo, as I said. And she does a lot of fun things while she's teaching, and she's just pretty well known nationally, so I'm just really excited about having her here this year. So she's an author, and she just her presentations are really very informative.
We have an interview with Chef AJ in this later in the same show, so we'll get a little bit more perspective on her and her background, and then again what she might give us a little sneak preview
of
on what
course.
She plans to do.
Absolutely.
At the, so who else, either in terms of speakers or other elements of the festival, should we know about in particular?
Well, I think the caliber of all our speakers and our chefs is just amazing. One of our chefs, Evelise Capo, has a doctorate in pharmacy and a pharmaceutical engineer, and she works for a group also PCRM doing cancer project cooking demos. So she's pretty amazing. She did a demo last year. We have a local, Larry Bennett, who's our first time doing a cooking demo. We're really excited about his journey. He lost 150 pounds when he changed his lifestyle and became a vegan. And so his story and what he's going to share with us, I think, is going to be really exciting and inspirational for people. And our speakers, we have also a doctor, Dr. Mary Clifton, and her husband are doing a talk together. And she also has a great story to tell, how she lost weight and got healthier because of changing her lifestyle and becoming a vegan doctor. And so she's written a book, Get Wasted, and she's also going to have some cholesterol screenings if anybody's interested. So I'm real excited about that. And
Miriam, so this sounds probably a little on the silly side, but when we're talking about cooking demonstrations, at least at Veg Fest, what does that really mean? Just maybe take us through how those work, or describe kind of what someone would expect to see or hear at any given cooking demonstration this coming Saturday.
Well, it's really fun, and it's right in the middle of everything. It's under a large tent, so people can just walk up. We have some chairs for people to sit down, but these chefs are taking us through some of their favorite recipes that are fun, and they're just showing you how they put them together, how easy it is to eat in this type of lifestyle, that vegan or vegetarian, you know, cooking is not that hard, and it's very tasty. You don't have to give up anything. And so when you have somebody that has a passion for creating really yummy recipes and shares them, and will distribute samples for those who, you know, are close by, because obviously we're going to have thousands of people there, so they can't do thousands of samples, but,
right,
you know, people that are able to get there on time to sit close to them will be able to taste some of these wonderful.
Get a front row seat and you'll get a sample, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe we'll come back to, because if I'm not mistaken, is there like two husband and wife speaker teams this year?
Yes,
which
this
is
a first.
Unusual. Yeah.
We are excited about this. Yes.
Yeah.
David and Sherry Orcutt from Hallelujah Acres Lifestyle Center also have some amazing stories. David had multiple sclerosis in 2001, and by changing to a vegan plant-based diet and eating the way they do so healthy, he's cured of that. And so David and Sherry, Sherry's also a cooking demo person. She's a chef, and she did a demo last year. So we're excited that they're going to share their story this year together. So, yeah, this husband and wife team thing this year is really fun and exciting. So I think people should enjoy that. I should just quickly mention, we have another local person, a bodybuilder. So Jeff Palmer, I want people to know that you can do anything. You can be an athlete. And, in fact, many athletes claim that by becoming vegan, they have more energy and even build, you know, muscles. So a lot of people say, where do you get your protein? When you see a vegan bodybuilder so healthy,
I
think it should be encouraging that is a safe and healthy way of living.
Right, because I think a lot of people have maybe a slightly more stereotypical view of the weakly,
mm-hmm,
pale,
mm-hmm,
you know, if they're vegan. You know, but I mean, you
right,
know, let's face
right,
it, that there is that sort of perception.
Absolutely.
So then when you see a vegan bodybuilder, it's like, wow, well, there's a stereotype buster right there.
Yeah, exactly. And you're hearing a lot more celebrities choosing this lifestyle. You know, even Bill Clinton, because he wanted to avoid having more heart problems, he's claiming that he's doing very, very well on this vegan lifestyle. So
sure,
you're hearing a lot more people do this. So
yeah,
this is really a trendy and a healthy way to live, and anybody can do it. Doesn't matter what you do.
Now, another speaker that I have a personal fondness for is Gretchen Primack. So, I don't know if you want to talk about her, or I will, or both. But
we and I both can talk about her. Yeah. We're excited about her because she was on your show,
right?
And that's how we learned about her.
Oh,
so
well, that's
that was
nice.
Really
that's
cool.
That's good. Yeah. So Gretchen is a poet and writer. One of her collections is called Kind, and it's all sort of animal rights, animal welfare related. Amazing poet, and also I think co-wrote book with Jenny Brown from the Woodstock Sanctuary. But yeah, we had a great conversation.
Yes.
And she read some poems on the show at my urging, at least. And so what would people expect from Gretchen this Saturday afternoon?
Well, I'm so glad you had her on the show and that we heard her, because it's definitely not what most people would expect about poetry reading. And I think just even, again, her passion, and with us, we just appreciate her passionate fight for farm animals. And as you said, she co-wrote that book with Jenny Brown. So that speaks, volumes of her heart and that she cares about animals. And so she's just an advocate for a great advocate for what we believe in. And so I think that she seems to be just such a gentle, fun, kind person, and people will just enjoy her poetry. So I hope they come to listen to her.
So her presentation will be chiefly poetry readings.
But she's going to tell some stories, too.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be poetry readings.
And she's really great. If anyone wants to get a little sneak preview, she was on Talking Animals on February 26th. You can go to talkinganimals.net if you would like to hear. Because that interview, I really enjoyed her, and we've traded some Facebook messages because we were hoping to see each other at VegFest, and she seemed to feel the same way. So she's wonderful. And again, it's just kind of a nice, as great as it is to have those speakers and the cooking demos, someone like Gretchen is kind of like another sort of element that covers important aspects of something like VegFest, but also sort of brings a pretty distinctive manner and style to it as well. So.
Right. Well, I just want to mention, that VegFest, of course, is about food. So we have more food vendors this year than we've had, and we're excited to have some of our old timers that have been there from day one, like Taco Bus and Vida de Cafe, and we have a lot of new ones. So we also have an area for some free food samples, but you still want to go support the vendors because the sample's not enough for lunch. You got to try the food that these people bring out and support, But we have art vendors, we have soap, jewelry, there's something for everyone, lots of music. I think it's just going to be a fun day. And I would be remiss if I don't mention one of the highlights, too, is the kids area has a lot of fun things. So this is a great day to bring out the kids, too. And there'll be hula hoops. There'll be things that they can do and arts and craft things. Every year our kids area is a lot of fun. So a lot of effort is put into that. So bring the kids, too.
And back to the food vendors for a sec. So hearing that there are more this year than in past years, has there ever been an issue where vendors – I have a concern that if there's so many vendors and there's additional vendors then the following year, that there's not enough maybe potential business to go around?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Duncan, but people are lined up to buy food. And so we need plenty of vendors so that people don't have to wait so long. Many of them in the past have run out of food. And so we're delighted to have more so that people maybe don't have to wait so long. The area for seating is chock full every year. So really, I think they do enough business that they definitely seem to want to come back. And we really, really had the room for more so that people don't have to wait so long or we run out of food.
That's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about VegFest attendees or potential attendees. There's probably no way to really assess this other than anecdotally, but in the initial 4 years of VegFest, what sort of folks seemed to attend, or was it sort of all over the map?
No, that is so interesting. It seems to be all over the map. I think attendance just exceeded our expectations the first year. And even the city of Tampa said, you guys outgrew this venue. And they suggested we move to the bigger park. That's how much, we were surprised about the wonderful response. So I even ran into my ophthalmologist at VegFest last year, and I didn't expect that. I've seen people from work that I didn't expect, that they didn't even know, I didn't think knew that I was involved in that. And they said, oh my gosh, what are you doing here? So we have kids, we have people of all ages, we try to make it multicultural. We had our music last year included so many different genres and so many different things that we saw kids performing and families coming together. And of course, it's a pet-friendly event, so you can bring your dog on a leash, and they can go everywhere except where the inside speakers are. They can't go in the Tampa History Museum, but everywhere else you can bring your pet, and we have also pet adoptions and sanctuaries participating, so it's just people come for all kinds of reasons, and I just think that we have, like you said, it's really all over the place. The attendees come from every walk of life.
A couple things popped in my head as you mentioned those last few things. One is that I think it's really important for people listening who haven't had a chance to go to VegFest before to know that the speakers are indoors, kind of in this adjacent area, because
Thank you.
At a lot of festival events, it's just impractical to do it any other way, but the speakers are outdoors in sort of a tent or whatever, it can be protected, but it's not nearly as comfortable for an audience to sit that way as it is in a actual room with air conditioning and the abilities to show PowerPoint or other stuff if that speaker
totally
requires
agree.
It. Yeah.
I mean, some of the VegFests around the U.S. do have outdoor speakers under a tent.
Yeah.
But many of our speakers have mentioned how much they love coming to our VegFest, and many of the past speakers asked to come back. We try to have a variety, and we've repeated some, but they enjoy the indoor because they want to produce a very professional presentation, and it's harder to do it outside where the noise, the wind, or the weather could interfere. So, yes, we are very, very
fortuitous
to have that indoor venue right there,
sure,
adjacent, you know, part of the park.
Because this was also sort of part of the ability to have this indoor facility. I'm curious about the first few years, VegFest also offered film screenings, and this year you guys have chosen not to do that. Can you sort of talk about what made that change this year?
Well, I think because it's so easy to get a lot of the films now. They're available so easily, and people see them on, you know, Netflix, or tell me they see them on YouTube and all kinds of different ways. So, yes, I think films are powerful, and they can be life-changing, and we'd actually like to do a film festival. We want to continue to show films to people because I know that that's what changed me, and seeing is different than hearing. When you, with your own eyes, hear the people that tell you things or you see things, it changes you. So we believe that first
screening that your mom dragged you to
that brings us here today.
It was
life-changing, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I firmly believe in that. But the logistics of so many things going on that day, I think people wanted to participate, hear the speakers, the cooking demos.
Yeah.
That even though, you know, many of the films did have a pretty good attendance and additional, you know, a little bit of technical things, we just decided that it was just a little bit too much to try to pack in one day. Not that, you know, the films are great. We just had a couple of viewings of Cowspiracy and American Mustang film at some of the, you know, theaters locally, and they were very well attended. So people do want that. It's just hard to pack everything in one day. You can't do it all.
No, it is tricky because you figure some people are real troopers and can spend most or all of the time at VegFest and hit everything. But some people only have limited time because they got kids and games and other things competing for their time. So to spend 45 minutes or an hour or more
exactly
at a film when it's like, well, I'd like to be at the cooking demo, or I'd like to hear some of this music, or my kids would like to be over in the children's area. So I could see how
that's
it'd be
exactly
like
the thing. And
yeah,
so you're tied in there. You can't take your pet. Kids, you know, maybe want to do something else. And it's
yeah
a day to encourage people to be outside.
Yeah.
Of course, we want people to hear our speakers, but we want you to enjoy all the aspects. And it's kind of hard when you sit down, unless you sit that long.
And again, we should also mention that, as far as the animals that are there to, in most cases, to be adopted, but some just to see and enjoy. Because I remember two or three years ago, maybe it was even the first year, but there was a great pig from Darlin's that was just hanging out. And I fell in love with that pig. And it was just so great to be able to visit a pig and then look at some nice dogs. And, you know, obviously, if you're inclined and able to, you can adopt some of those animals that very day. So,
and you're mentioning a pig. Pigs are so amazing. We're not a rescue group, but we have rescued animals throughout the years, and our latest rescue was a pig from was rescued from slaughter. He was going to be slaughtered one day, and the family member said, "Can you help me? I don't want this pig slaughtered because he's so sweet." And actually, someone who you had on your show has him and is taking care of him in his sanctuary. That's Ted Coran from the Critter Place.
Mm-hmm.
But pigs are pretty amazing, too. So,
yeah,
you want to come and pet one of Darling's pigs.
For sure.
It'll change your life, too.
That's a highlight. Absolutely. Sort of just nearing the end of our time, Miriam. And again, if you just tune in, my guest is Miriam Parham, co-founder of Florida Voices for Animals, organizers of Tampa Bay VegFest, taking place this Saturday, November 8th at Okeechobee Fort Brooke Park. This conversation was recorded last Wednesday. So, Miriam, people listening to this who haven't maybe had much occasion to think about an event like VegFest, much less attend one, might think it's aimed at vegetarian and vegan types. Can you address how, in some ways, almost the opposite is true, that, that festival organizers are probably hoping to attract a large contingent of omnivores and carnivores, and why that might be true?
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself, except maybe why. Of course, we want everybody to come, and we want people who are not vegetarians or vegans so that they can explore this food and this lifestyle and all the wonderful things that you can eat. I just know that since I became vegetarian first and then a vegan, that I actually started enjoying food more and finding flavors and tastes and cuisines and ethnic foods that I never would have dreamt of trying. And I think I enjoy eating more now than I ever did. And I just want people to come out, have fun, think about being a little bit healthier, and even if they take a baby step toward that direction, something that maybe will spark a change that will help their health and will help the animals, and that's really what we're hoping for.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think if people do come out, or they're just curious, or they want to check out a band, or one of the speakers we mentioned, and then they do try something from one of the vendors, and again, probably goes without saying that all the food vendors are serving vegan food. But having said that, there's quite an array of cuisines represented. So
absolutely.
Again, people who might be sort of a little skeptical say, well, maybe I'll eat when after we leave or whatever. You know, if they try some things, they'll say, oh, my goodness, this
exactly.
is vegan. I thought it was going to be sort of bland or sort of all the same stuff or whatever. And it's another sort of form of myth busting that can happen at an event like this.
I know time is short and, boy, it goes by fast. But I just wanted to mention that a lot of people are afraid to give up cheese, and a couple of our vendors and in our food area, we have some new brands of cheeses that are being sampled. And so there's a lot of products out there that, like you said, if you just get to taste it, you know, rather than go out and buy it and then, you know, not know what to do with it or be afraid to buy something. But we have tree-lined cheese and Parmel vegan Parmesan, and also, and we have Happy Cow and healthy eating guides and field roast, all kinds of products. But one last thing I wanted to mention. There's something new this year, and we have Tampa Bay Cycle. It's a new vendor, and they're offering a new free service this year where they do a bike valet. So we're encouraging people also who can to ride bikes. Good for the environment, good for you, and maybe have someone park your bike. It'll be just a new thing this year.
Oh, great. So in other words, to get yourself over to the park, take your bike, and they'll kind of look after it for
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's really great.
That's
cool. That's a neat
really
idea.
Exciting. Very cool.
Yeah. Well, again, we've been speaking with Miriam Parham. She is the co-founder and president of Florida Voices for Animals, and Florida Voices for Animals is the organization putting together the whole Tampa Bay Veg Fest taking place this Saturday, November 8th at Okeechobee Fort Brook Park. Find out more information, get the schedules of speakers and bands and other things to maybe plot your day in advance by going to tampabayvegfest.org. And the organization itself has a website, floridavoicesforanimals.org. So, Miriam, thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you,
and
Duncan.
It's going to be, sounds like a heck of a good time over there on at VegFest.
Don't want to miss it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In a moment, we'll hear my interview with Chef AJ, who will be both speaking at Tampa Bay VegFest and giving a cooking demonstration there. Right now, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. This is Nick DiPaolo with part of a piece called Animal Activists. On today's Comedy Corner, on Talking Animals.
I'm sick of activists. Everybody's a goddamn activist in Los Angeles. Everybody's like an animal activist. I love animals, too. But, you know, if I see one more person walking a dog with a coat on it, I'm going to stab him. I swear to God. That's the first sign of mental illness. You start dressing up your pets, okay? Take the snorkel jacket off the chihuahua. The dog was born with a coat. He doesn't need another one. It's like giving an alligator false teeth. Leave him alone. On the lawn, he licks his own balls. Let's buy him a tweed jacket. We don't even have kennels now. We have doggy hotels in this country. Did you see this? We got people sleeping on the streets in this country, yet somewhere there's a poodle pissed off because a maid didn't leave a liver snap on his pillow last night. I got a lady that lives next to me that talks to her pets like she thinks they're human. She's yelling at her dog last week. She's going, did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? I go, you know, I think his hearing's perfect. It's the English language that's throwing him off a tad. Maybe he can't hear you because he's wearing earmuffs and a hat.
That was Nick DiPaolo with part of a piece called Animal Activists, taken from his album Born This Way. Let's move now into our interview with Chef AJ, the chef, culinary teacher, and author, appearing this Saturday, November 8th, at Tampa Bay Veg Fest. In an interview recorded recently, this is Chef AJ on Talking Animals. Thanks for joining us today on Talking Animals, Chef AJ.
It's my pleasure.
Before we get into some specifics, including what all you'll be doing at the Tampa Bay Veg Fest, maybe you could tell us a bit of the Chef AJ story. For example, I know you've been following a plant-based diet for more than 30 years, but how did that begin, and what was the impetus for first embracing that diet?
Okay, so I'm 54 and a half years old, and I've been following a plant-based diet since I was 17, the day I left home to attend the University of Pennsylvania as a freshman from Chicago. I became a vegetarian. Actually, I was trying to be a veterinarian, but on the very first day of the job, the veterinarian I worked for asked me to cut the heads off a tank of salamanders, and I cut that head off of one salamander, and it just freaked me out so bad, I just said to God, I'll never kill or eat or wear any of your animals again, which is great, because I became an ethical vegan in 1977, but unfortunately, it was before the internet or PCRM or Neil Barnard, so I did everything wrong with my diet. So instead of eating whole foods like fruits and vegetables and whole grains and legumes, I basically just ate junk, like sugar and flour and oil, and they basically, you know, processed food. And what happened is 26 years later, I got very sick. I got obese. I weighed 180 pounds, and I'm only 5'6", and I got the beginning of cancer. And so what happened is I changed my focus. Well, of course, I still am an ethical vegan. You don't stop being an ethical vegan. I really changed my focus to health, and I adopted a whole food plant-based diet free of sugar, oil, salt, processed food, and I completely reversed my health. I lost 60 pounds. I reversed the cancerous polyps in my colon without drugs or surgery, and now I became a chef and an author, and I just travel all around the United States and Mexico and Japan, and I teach people the miracles associated with a plant-based diet, and I sure have a lot of fun doing it, and I'm really excited to come to the Tampa Bay Veg Fest since I've never been to Tampa before.
Wow. Well, boy, you've certainly said a mouthful there, if you will. But so let me just back up a little bit, because we'll explore a few of those things that you've already mentioned in greater detail, of course. But where did you grow up, and what was food like in your family when you were growing up?
Right. Well, I grew up in the south side of Chicago, just like Jim Croce. I was raised in a Jewish home. So what was cool about it now, looking back, is being keeping kosher. There was a lot of animals I never got to eat, and I'm very thankful that we never ate shellfish or crab or lobster or shrimp or clam or pork or mixing milk with meat, eating things like cheeseburgers or pepperoni pizza. And I say that now because I have a history of suffering with food addiction. By not eating all those things, I never got addicted to them. I never developed a taste for them. So many people say they can't live without bacon. Well, if you never had it, you can. So that was very cool that I, you know, how many animals did we really eat? You know, cows and chickens and maybe a little bit of fish. And so, you know, the food was, you know, typical Jewish food. Everything started with a K, knedel, kreplach, blintzes, everything. You know, it was very rich, very fatty food, chopped liver. And it was traditional, you know, Jewish food, but it's, you know, it'll kill you. Just salami, that kind of stuff. So my mom cooked every meal at home. We rarely ate out. So that was good that we weren't eating a lot of processed food, but it was just way too high in fat and salt and things like that. You know?
Yeah. Let's go back to kind of one of the key parts of the story that you've already outlined, which is when you realize you were sort of pursuing things wrong, and you were obese, you were at the beginnings of cancer. Was that, was it shortly after making the changes to your diet that you realized, hey, food and preparing food was something I really want to place kind of at the center of my life, not just, you know, improving my own health, but going beyond that and sort of preaching the gospel and helping others with this?
Absolutely not. It took 26 years. I spent from the age of 17 to 43 until I actually woke up bleeding profusely. I never paid attention to what I ate because for me, I was doing it just for the animals. And I felt that as long as it was vegan, it was healthy. And that is not true. Not true at all. Vegan processed food, if you read books like Whole by Dr. Colin Campbell, yeah, it's definitely a little bit better, but it is not healthy. All those high fat, high sugar, high salt, highly processed. And I never thought about my health or my, you know, or what I ate until I got sick. And that's the case with many people, unfortunately. I know very few people that are really proactive with this. And thanks to movies like Forks Over Knives, at least it's coming into the conversation. More people are thinking about it. And other documentaries like Fed Up, which focuses on sugar, people really haven't thought about their food very much. And now, you know, we're at a crucial point with the environment and with healthcare. You know, 2/3 of Americans are overweight or obese. Heart disease, the number one killer. People at least are starting to talk about it. But I never thought about it until I got sick. And really now that's all I think about, because everybody I meet is either sick or has a family member that's sick or they're overweight. And, you know, they need this information. And a plant-based diet, you know, I heard Dr. Neil Barnard speak last night at the Muse School in California, the school that's owned by James Cameron, the movie director, Susie Amos. And, you know, they were talking about how it doesn't matter why you go plant-based, because there's a lot of ethical vegans that say, well, if you're not doing it for the animals, don't do it. Well, that's ridiculous, because the last time I talked to the cows and the pigs, they really couldn't care less why we weren't eating them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why you make this shift, whether it's for the animals, whether it's for your health, whether it's for the planet. All three of these win. So it doesn't matter why you do it, just do it. And the thing is your health will improve, and when you feel better and you look better, you're going to be a better advocate for the planet and for the animals anyway. So really, it's all related, and there's no bad reason to go plant-based. It's all good, you know?
Right. And one of the things that's so interesting is, as you described your sort of arc here, is that, you know, becoming an ethical vegan in 1977, as you know, there was no internet information. And,
yeah,
you know, while movies like Forks Over Knives and others are, of course, pivotal, I mean, many of those kind of things obviously didn't exist then. But the internet is so pivotal, I think, for people who decide
goodness.
To embrace those kinds of changes. And, hey, how can I get information? And so.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, people say, well, I can't afford your book. You know, my book's $20, or I can't afford your class. That's okay. You can go to, even if you don't have a computer, you go to the library. Most of my stuff is online for free, my recipes, my videos. You can hear speakers like Dr. Barnard, Dr. Esselstyn, McDougall on YouTube free. You don't have to buy a book. I mean, with all the blogs now, thousands of recipes for free. You're right. I mean, it makes it so accessible, and it makes it accessible everywhere. So it's not just for, you know, rich people. Anybody can have access to this information. And, you know, when you think about it, I mean, the kind of foods that I advocate, which are the whole foods, like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, as opposed to the designer vegan junk foods, well, these have been around since the beginning of time. And you don't have to be rich to go to a store like Smart and Final and buy a 20-pound bag of potatoes for $5. You can get organics now at the 99-cent store in Walmart. So it doesn't have to be expensive. It's accessible for everyone. You just need to eat more plants, fruits and vegetables, whole grains and legumes. Secret.
Right. Well, speaking of online, I guess we should mention now that your own website is eatunprocessed.com, where there's all kinds of information about your book, and you know, there's all kinds of lessons and information and things posted there that go along with our theory that there's a lot of information available just by logging on. So
I'm just a click away, and they can get about 65 free recipes with videos if they need a visual. I do a free teleclass every single week, and all the classes are archived. Like tonight, I'm interviewing legendary Dr. John McDougall. Last week, I interviewed Howard Lyman, and these are great resources just to have a little bit more support while you're driving or working out, just to be able to listen to these calls and just get more information. And I do this for free, and it's a lot of fun, and people can ask questions. So it's just great. It's just wonderful being a part of this community.
Sure. Well, more specifically, Chef AJ, what would you say are the sort of guiding principles of your cooking? Are there hallmarks of the Chef AJ cuisine?
I do. I mean, people say that my cuisine is a little bit stricter, but when they taste it, they realize it's not what's missing that makes it so unique. It's just what's there, which is basically whole food, plant-based. Fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, the whole food found in nature from a plant, not foods manufactured in a plant. And that's what I focus on. And I love using a lot of vegetables. I mean, I think vegetables are overlooked a lot of times in the vegan diet. I mean, with all due respect to these wonderful vegan restaurants, I've gone in there and I can't find anything I can eat because it's just a bunch of fake meat and fake cheese on bread. There's no vegetables. So I really like to emphasize the vegetables. And I also like to make it easy. I try to make my recipes so easy that even my husband can throw things in a pressure cooker and push a button. You know, I used to volunteer at the Braille Institute, and most people go blind due to type 2 diabetes, which is not only preventable on a whole food plant-based diet, but reversible. So most of my recipes were tested on my blind students. So I want to make them easy because I want people to be able to do them and do them easily every single day. Yet, even though I don't use sugar, oil, and salt, my food has so much flavor because I figured out how to make food taste delicious without it. I use a lot of spices. You know, people think that without salt they can't eat. Well, salt only one spice. What about chipotle peppers? What about all the wonderful types of flavors you have in ethnic cuisines like Indian and Mexican? You know, food can have a lot of flavor. It doesn't just have to have salt. And without oil, you don't need oil. I use whole food fats like nuts, seeds, and avocado, or beans in place of things like nuts. And as far as sugar, nobody needs to eat sugar ever. I use the fruit, the whole fruit, and nothing but the whole fruit, so help me God. And I was a pastry chef at a restaurant for 4 years, and I didn't use sugar. I just used fruit. Nope, didn't tell anybody, didn't tell them that my desserts were vegan. They didn't need to know. So I really try to make healthy taste delicious. That's my mission.
That's great. Well, on a related note, my understanding is that your appearance at the Tampa Bay Veg Festival involved both a cooking demonstration and a talk. Can you give us a little sneak preview of those things, dishes that might be in?
I haven't fleshed it out completely.
Okay.
But I'm thankful that I'm doing two. I love when I get to do two presentations because I'm not just a chef. I'm also a health educator. I'm probably going to do, lately I've been focusing on sugar because it just seems like it's such an addiction in our society. Americans eat over 150 pounds of sugar per person per year, and it's pretty much linked to every disease, and you really don't need it. So I probably will do my demo that I just did at the Chicago Veg Fest this weekend, how to satisfy your sweet tooth without sugar, and I will make different courses. Like, so I'll probably do a rich dessert, like a peanut butter fudge truffle that's sweetened with dates. But I'll probably do my famous quinoa salad, which has fruit in it. It has some currants and pomegranate seeds, but of course no sugar. And I'll probably do a granola. And, you know, most granola is delicious. It's very crunchy, and that's because of all the oil and maple syrup and brown sugar in it. But mine's going to be sweetened with dates, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. And I'll probably teach them, in addition, how to make a plant-based milk very easily, like an almond milk, in 2 seconds, not the old-fashioned way where they have to sit and soak the nuts overnight. We'll show them a quick and easy way. And I'm not sure which lecture. I give a bunch of lectures, but because people are so interested in my 60-pound weight loss and how easy it was, that I might do the lecture that I call Winning at the Losing Game, which is basically where I present the science of ultimate weight loss. And even thin people should attend this lecture because it teaches you how you get to eat more food and weigh less. It's sort of like what Dean Ornish talked about in his book from 1993, Eat More, Weigh Less. So that's probably what I'm going to talk about because it's really a fun lecture, and I make it really, the science really understandable that anybody can digest it, no pun intended.
Okay, and one last question, Chef AJ. Rumor has it that you might do some singing during your cooking demo.
I am now. You know, I used to always rely on the volunteers to get me a CD player because the music never sounds as good run through a computer. Well, somebody just bought me this little one that I can travel with, so absolutely, if you come to my food demo, probably won't sing so much during the scientific lecture, but during the food demo, I really like to open it with a song and end it with a song, original songs that I wrote. Music is not so original. I stole somebody else's music, but I wrote the lyrics, and I'm told it's quite entertaining, and that even though I'm not a singer, my voice after doing this for 14 years is actually getting a little bit better.
Well, that's great. All right, we've been speaking with Chef AJ, who will again be appearing at the Veg Fest November 8th. Her book is On Process, How to Achieve Vibrant Health and Your Ideal Weight, and her website is eatunprocessed.com. Chef AJ, thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you in Tampa.
Likewise. All right, thanks again. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, when we play Name That Animal Tune, I'll be offering a copy of Metal Cats, which presents beautiful photography of assorted musicians from the metal scene and their cat. We'll be conducting the contest by email today rather than our customary phone call. We'll get to that in a moment or two on Talking Animals. Right now, it's time for animal news and announcement. One announcement is, did you hear the news? TNVR is now legal in Pinellas County. So you have an opportunity to get your community cats, or feral cats, as they're also known, fixed for, well, we can't say the price, as you know, on the air perhaps, but very, very reasonably priced by the Humane Society of Pinellas. But this is one day only, kind of a special deal, extravaganza. And that day is Thursday, November 6th, tomorrow. Registration begins at 8 a.m. No appointment required. It's taking place at Tarpon Springs Health Department, 301 Diston Avenue, Tarpon Springs. Again, can't get into the cost, but hard to imagine it could be more reasonable. Now, cats must be securely contained in a trap, like a humane trap, obviously, and the cats in cares cannot be accepted for this. And again, this day is not for house cats or pets. This is for community cats only. And you say, well, gosh, there's people nearby here. There's some cats here. I would love to get in on that. But I don't have a trap. You can call for trap rental information, 727-797-7722. And for more information overall, you can go to humanesocietyofpinellas.org. Also local news, congratulations is due. Ellen Jaffe Jones, nearby Comas Beach or thereabouts, been a past guest a couple times at least on Talking Animals, and a speaker, not coincidentally, at Tampa Bay Veg Fest, although she's not speaking at the one coming up. But she does have some bragging rights. She was named the 2004 Sexiest Vegan Over 50. Some pretty fabulous prizes, and I think this is sponsored by PETA. Kudos. Good job, Ellen. Congratulations. Well done. So, yeah, that will conclude this edition of Animal News and Announcements. I'm Duncan Strasser. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website, talkinganimals.net, is time to proceed to name that animal tune. This is a giveaway. You do not need to be a WNF member to win, though we certainly encourage you to become a member. And there will be a prize, a copy of Metal Cats, the photography book featuring images of musicians from the metal scene and their cats, to the first person who emails with the correct answer to Duncan at WMNF.org. Let's name that animal tune on Talking Animals. Okay, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. I'll be back next Wednesday, November 12th. I hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, I also hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show, and or me personally, and follow us on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our email newsletter. Find out about guests a couple of days beforehand and other scintillating news from the Talking Animals world. It's all found at talkinganimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Closing out today's show, as usual, with an animal song. In instrumental form. This is Sean Frew with Wild Dog. On WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Weekiwachi, and beyond, Community Conscious Radio. Thanks for listening. See you again next Wednesday at 9 a.m. on Talking Animals. Thanks.